The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be renewed, and you shall renew the face of the entire earth. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Happy Pentecost, everybody. Just up front, I need your prayers. I have allergies. If I lose my voice, you can either thank God for that, because I'll have to stop, or you can pray me through it. But I wanted to begin by pointing out that chapter 2, verse 1, from our reading in Acts today, is the reason I drive a Honda Accord. And that is because it is the only vehicle mentioned in the Bible. Given in the King James Version, it states that when the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one accord. And so, if it was a good enough vehicle for the disciples to spread the gospel, it's good enough for me. But on a more serious note, the day of Pentecost was the gift of God's Holy Spirit to the church. After Jesus' resurrection and just before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus tells the apostles to testify to the entire world, but to wait first for God's gift of the Holy Spirit. And so there were 10 days between when Jesus gave the disciples this rather large assignment and the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But so I imagine that during this 10-day time frame, the disciples may have had some concerns, you know, saying amongst themselves, "But we are only Galileans, you know, we speak smatterings of Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew. How are we to testify to the entire world?" And yet we see today that God comes through by empowering his servants with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who gifted them with languages to carry out the assignment. This is very important for us to remember, because when God asks us to do something, God also enables us to carry it out. "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty unto us." And so today we see God setting in motion the growth of God's church. Pentecost is appropriately the green season. It goes on for a long time as the green season because it's a time for growth up until the harvest. It is a time, as we are told today in Acts, when God's Spirit is poured out on all people to prophesy. Prophecy is not limited to telling the future. To prophesy means to proclaim a message from God. The apostles were entrusted to proclaim a message from God so that God's words would bring growth and bear fruit. In fact, Pentecost, or Shavuot, was originally a Jewish festival of first fruits, of the wheat harvest. After the destruction of the temple, since there was no longer a temple to bring the first fruits to, there was a shift towards remembering when God came down in fire upon the mountain to give the Torah. God gave his words on the mountain, appearing in fire, and he gave his word to the people. And so this also parallels the flames of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, since the disciples are empowered to spread God's word. But Pentecost was originally a festival of first fruits of the wheat harvest. And the Jewish festivals can help us understand God's plan for the redemption of humanity because the practices instituted by God have spiritual significance. And so there were three pilgrimage festivals that God gave to the Israelites in Exodus. And it talks about them. It says there was the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of the harvest of the first fruits, and the festival of ingathering at the final harvest. These were the festivals when people would appear before the Lord at the physical temple. The day of Pentecost is the shift away from having to worship at the physical temple, you know, the day we read about today, because God's Spirit would now indwell God's people. But prior to this, there had been three pilgrimage festivals at the temple about which God instructed the Israelites in Exodus. And it's only four verses, so I'd like to read you that section from Exodus when God gives them these festivals. And he said, "Three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv, for in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of the harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field." That's the second festival. And the third, God says, "Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the field. 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the sovereign Lord." But so regarding the first festival, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we know that Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples and that his death and resurrection intersected with the ensuing celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which began the day after Passover. But this is significant because on the night that God delivered the Israelites from captivity in Egypt, they were instructed to eat bread that did not have time to rise in order to leave in haste and escape captivity. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is done as a remembrance of God's deliverance from captivity. Likewise, Christ died to deliver us from captivity. Paul explains this to us in Ephesians by saying of the ascension that when Jesus ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive, and he gave gifts to his people. In other words, two things happened when Jesus ascended to the Father, and that is Jesus led captivity captive by going before the Father on our behalf, and Jesus also sent the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us with God-given gifts to do God's work in the world. But so regarding the second festival, the harvest of first fruits, or Pentecost, this was when people would bring the choicest first fruits of the wheat harvest to God at the temple. First fruits symbolizes the consecration of the whole harvest to God and was a pledge of the entire harvest to come. This is also relevant to God's redemptive plan in that Christ is referred to as the first fruits. Paul describes Jesus as such to the Corinthians, saying, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And literally, what the apostles were proclaiming during Pentecost was the resurrection. They were proclaiming Christ as the first fruits of those who sleep. Jesus describes death as sleep. And I don't believe that this means we're kind of in an unconscious or, you know, dream state after we die. According to Scripture, it means we are in our spiritual bodies waiting for Jesus to return, at which time we will receive our incorruptible bodies. And we are conscious souls while we await for Christ's return, given this is revealed to us in the book of Revelation by the souls of martyrs asking, "How long, O Lord, until you return to judge?" Similarly, of the dead patriarchs, Jesus says, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And Moses appeared at the Transfiguration after being dead for 1,500 years. And Paul tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me." And the preacher in Ecclesiastes attests, "The spirit returns to God who gave it." Likewise, Jesus, as he was dying, said to the Father, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." But so we, likewise, we will be entrusting our spirits to the Father. And so when we die, we are waiting for our resurrected bodies in the same manner that Jesus, as the first fruits, has put on incorruption. We are told about this today in Romans, where it states, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." Christ ascended and went before the Father, consecrating the whole harvest for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the first fruits of the Spirit because we have been gifted Christ's Spirit. And Paul speaks of the promise of our incorruptible bodies, stating that this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. "For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." The gift of God's Holy Spirit has sealed us for the day of redemption. And our assignment is to guide others into receiving this gift of God's Holy Spirit. This is how we play a part in the growth period up until the harvest, given what is being grown up are children of God. Jesus tells us, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." We, like the apostles, are to be proclaiming the gospel so that others may be born of God. The apostle Peter describes being born of God by saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is how people receive the very same Spirit we see today in Scripture. And though we may not physically see the flames, the spiritual reality is the same. I believe that God at Pentecost enabled people to physically see flames so that they would be assured of what was happening in the spiritual realm. And the same first fruit Spirit of Christ bore literal first fruits in that 3,000 people responded to Peter's preaching, and they were baptized into the name of Christ and thereby born from above. This is why we call Pentecost the birthday of the church. But so I want to close with just a word about the third festival, and that is Sukkot, the celebration of the ingathering of the harvest. Of the final harvest, Jesus says, the wheat and weeds must grow together until the harvest at the end of the age, which means we are in a time period of growth leading up to the harvest at the end of the age. And as part of the festival of Sukkot, God instructed the Israelites to live in booths or temporary housing for 8 days. This was done so that the Israelites would remember their time in the wilderness living in temporary shelters before they entered the promised land. We too live in temporary shelters while we await the coming of God's promised kingdom. Our bodies are temporary shelters, referred to as tents in Scripture. And some of you may be thinking, well, gosh darn it, I've spent a lot of time on preserving this tent I live in, and I'm looking pretty good about now, so I don't know if I really want to cast it aside. While others of us are like, yes, I can't wait to trade this tattered tent in on a permanent dwelling. But either way, the Apostle Paul explains our bodies are temporal, saying, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And I could go on and on about the parallels between the feasts given to the Israelites and God's redemptive plan for all of humanity. But Mother Anita told me not to speak for more than 15 minutes. So I'm just doing what I was told. Suffice it to say, God's redemptive plan can be seen in Christ's deliverance from captivity, Christ's consecration of his people, and Christ's promise to come again and renew all things. And you play a part in this redemptive plan, given you have received the same Spirit the apostles received at Pentecost. The same Spirit, the same assignment, the same empowerment, and the same promises, because it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us with his seal of ownership on us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Amen.